we celebrate the Feast, Brothers and Sisters of St. Pius X. This is Sister Anne Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. St. Pius X was born in 1835 in a village in Italy to a seamstress mother and a cobbler father. Giuseppe Sarto spent most of his priestly life ministering to the people in and around Venice. As pastor, he gave to the poor from his own modest household. As bishop and then patriarch of Venice, he reformed lax seminaries, yet still found time to teach catechism to children. A wonderful Holy Father. Elected Pope Pius X in 1903, he led the church with forthright teachings on the importance of catechesis, Catholic action, and the errors of modernism. I was born poor, I lived poor, I died poor, was his final testament. He died in 1914. St. Pius X, pray for us. We read today from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because you are of haughty of heart, you say, a god am I, small g, a god am I. We think ourselves so wonderful. We're arrogant. I occupy a godly throne in the heart of the sea, and yet you are a man. You're not a god, however you may think yourself like a god. Oh, yes. You are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is beyond you. By your wisdom and your intelligence, you have made riches for yourself. You have put gold and silver into your treasuries, and by your great wisdom applied to your trading, you have heaped up your riches. Your heart has grown haughty from your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have thought yourself to have the mind of a god, therefore, I will bring against you, foreigners, the most barbarous of nations. They shall draw their swords against your beauteous wisdom. They shall run them through your splendid apparel. They shall thrust you down to the pit there to die, a bloodied corpse in the heart of the sea. Will you then say, I am a god, when you face your murderers? No. You are man, not a god, handed over to those who will slay you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised at the hands of foreigners, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. Brothers and sisters, this is serious business. If we attribute to ourselves the blessings and the good things that have come to us, and we don't acknowledge the grace of God which has ordained it or permitted it, we're stealing. We're trying to say it was me, me, me. Yes, there might have been a lot of hard work on your part. Yes, but it came from God. The gifts to do it, the gifts to accomplish what you wanted, came from God. We are not the source. We are not. And God is saying here through the prophet Ezekiel what it's going to be like for those who refuse to acknowledge the place that God plays in our life, the central place that God plays in our life, that we attribute to ourselves, which really comes from the grace of God. That's serious. And we all do it. Begin to break the pattern. If it's a pattern in your life, begin to break it. All the boasting and the arrogance and the sense that I'm the author of all this. I did all this. It's me. It's all about me. I am a god. Even if we use a small g, it's blasphemy. Pay attention to this and do something about it, and do it as quickly as you can. Responsorial Psalm from Deuteronomy 32, it is I who deal death and give life. I would have said, I will make an end of them and blot out their name from men's memories, had I not feared the insolence of their enemies, feared that these foes would mistakenly boast. Our own hand won the victory. The Lord had nothing to do with it. For they are a people devoid of reason, having no understanding. How could one man rout 1,000 or 2 men put 10,000 to flight? Unless it was because their rock sold them, and the Lord delivered them up. Close at hand is the day of their disaster. Their doom is rushing upon them. Surely the Lord shall do justice for his people. On his servants he shall have pity. Are you a servant of the Lord? Are you genuinely a servant of the Lord? That's our proper posture. The only other part to that is that I am a son or a daughter of God. That's my rightful place. That's who I am. I'm not the creator. I'm not the conqueror. No matter how many things that are good that I have done, I could not have done them without the grace of God, without God allowing them or ordaining them. Make sure that God receives the gratitude he should have. In the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 19, verses 23 to 30, Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." It doesn't mean that necessarily that you have money, although it can work that way. But it's rich in this world's goods so that you see yourself as the one who brought all this about. You pat yourself on the back rather than acknowledging that the blessings you've received come from God. Get into a habit, if you're not in a habit, of acknowledging God as the source of all the good that has happened to you in your life. You can say all you want. I used all my blood, sweat, and tears. Believe me, so did Jesus for your sake. And without his death, you would not be able to accomplish anything. Give him the praise that is due. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they said, "Who then can be saved? How can it happen? Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For men, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." And then Peter said to him in reply, "We've given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Logical question. And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age," that is, when Christ came to earth, was the beginning of the new age, "we have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" And Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." These are fishermen. These are hard workers. These are not people with degrees and titles and positions and great salaries. These were fishermen. They had all the sinful qualities that human beings do, but they didn't have anything to depend on until God came along and drew them to himself and shared his miracles with them and brought them to conversion, just like he's trying to do with us. What will there be for us? What the question? What a question. Isn't that how we think all the time? Well, what's in it for us? What would there be for us? And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 tribes, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." I'm repeating this because I want you to see that what he's saying is that he it is who made it possible that they, these poor, uneducated fishermen would become the judges who would be seated on thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And then Jesus says, "Everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last. Many who are first in this world. Many who say, oh, that person's a saint. That person's really holy. We don't really know. We judge by externals. And it's fine to make a judgment when you're complimenting someone. But in reality, what does God see? What does God see in me? He still sees in me sometimes a divided heart. He still sees in me my sins that haven't been broken, at least greatly reduced. He sees. He sees all and he knows all. And he's the only one who can judge us. He sees our efforts. He sees the obstacles against us. He sees our own selfishness. He sees our desire to follow the Lord, to follow him. He sees all of that. He sees a whole cross-section of that. And he makes that wonderful promise that if we have given up everything on this earth for his sake, we will inherit eternal life. We will inherit eternal life. And we can't honestly judge, except what the church has ruled on, we can't honestly judge who are the saints in heaven forever until we're there, until we see for ourselves, until we ourselves are judged by God. God looks so much at the motive, the reason. He looks very much at the willingness or lack of willingness to sacrifice. He looks at our genuine contrition for our sins. He looks at those things, and only he sees the whole picture. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I often think that in times in different countries that I've been where I see people begging, men and women, and I see them, and I look at them, I try to give them a little something. I don't have much, but I try to give them something. But it's their eyes that I look at. And some of those eyes are very fogged over. Perhaps dope, I don't know. Drugs of some kind, I don't know. But I see other eyes that are very clear. There's a hint of a smile. They're begging. They have nothing. But I wonder in the eyes of God what they really have compared to some of the rest of us. Brothers and sisters, the way the world judges and the way God judges are very, very different. God judges by our motives, our intentions, our desires, our dependence on him. He judges by our willingness to forgive and be forgiven, to confess our sins. That's what he judges us by, and the world doesn't see that. Most of the time, the world doesn't see any of that. If you stood before God today, how would he judge you? Don't be afraid. Just turn to him. Lay your life before him. Follow what he asks of you. May God abundantly bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.